Hey, we're back. Urban Media Today, a Pittsburgh exclusive coming at you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Soul Take, Champions Live. Bill Neal, your host. My co-host, Kevin Cameron, is off in the wild blue yonder, but we co-host together, not to be misunderstood. We share equally in my being right and Kevin generally being wrong. That's an equal distribution, I assure you. Aliquippa's finest, not here today, but I'm holding down the fort. And got another special guest in here with me today, Ernie Bay, a name known far and wide in the Pittsburgh area, Western Pennsylvania for that matter, and the only man in the room right now that had a personal interaction with Diana Ross. Now, Trev, me and you have been around the world. Trevin Jones, our more than able producer here, and the real genius behind the operation. You know, you and I have seen our fair share of celebrity, but neither you or I have had the luxury of not only singing to, but singing with Diana Ross. And then Diana Ross made a pass at him. I better back that up. But Ernie Bay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
You think I was going to put you out there like that, huh?
Well, you know what? I got the pictures to prove it.
I know. It's not a lie. Nothing I said is a lie. That's a good thing. Well, Ernie Bay joins us, like I said, great family tradition here in Pittsburgh. Talks a lot about his dad and his dad's wisdom and his wonderful mom who is still with us, and big family, great family, and most importantly, they're community people, man. They do a whole lot of stuff. So I want to remind Brother Bay that we are both local and national and international. So your shout outs can go across the land when we're carrying on this interview here. But again, welcome to the show. We've been talking about a variety of things today that you can input on as we go along. We got all kind right. of a sports social thing going on, but I mean, we're a sports show predominantly, but every other sports show on the planet is entertaining some of the things we've been talking about. And I'll throw you a hardball right out the gate, then we'll come back. But no, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm not going to throw you the hardball first. Allow me to digress and allow you to introduce yourself to our listening audience. Who you are, where you're from, high school, college, you know, whatever you want people to know about you, put it out there now.
All right. Well, I recently retired, 37 years with Equitable Gas, and retired with Peoples Natural Gas. But born and raised in Pittsburgh, went to Westinghouse High School. From there, I went to Edinburgh State University with a scholarship that I had won in high school, actually, over at Alderdice. I was in an OVT program, Bill, and what they offered was, they called it the Golden Key Award. I won that and then went on to win a portfolio contest. Out of 200 students in the area, I won a $3,000 scholarship and was able to work at Alcoa Design Division on Northside when it was located there. And I say that to say that took me to Edinburgh State University. And from there, didn't make it out, but had a great, you know, college experience there. And when I came back, I opened one of the first art studios at Homewood called Innovate and Create Art Studio. And from there.
So we should take this opportunity to point out to our listeners and those that don't know you. And again, it's pertinent that people, that you know, the people across the country are listening to this. But Ernie Bay is an artist extraordinaire, not just your average run of the mill, paint yeah. this, paint that. Yeah. But this cat can do you up real right. proud.
And actually, Bill, now that you say that, I have to say that you awarded me Artist of the Year in 1985.
You killed me. You remember stuff, man. That was, you be remembering stuff for sure.
And that was a big boost to my career, actually.
Can I get a portrait? Can you do a? Can I get a portrait?
A brother could get a portrait. A brother could get a portrait.
Or you could just take a picture and send it to me. Yeah. Either way, don't matter.
So after the art experience, you know, I like I said, I went to you know, work for Equitable Gas, but along that way, I was a community activist, you know, for large parts of my life. And for 15 years, I've been with Mad Dads of Greater Pittsburgh, and also with the Coalition Against Violence. And I'm a member of Community Empowerment, support them. But I say that to say, you're right, Bill. I am a community guy. I believe in giving back as much as I can. And what we do with Mad Dads, one of our main things, we do street patrols twice, sometimes three times a month. We'll do street patrols in a variety of areas. And we are a Greater Pittsburgh Area Mad Dads. We've just started a a large group in McKees, you know, Rocks, and we picked up seven members from over there. So we're all over, you know.
So let me jump in, and I promise our listeners, because you've been listening to a lot of social conversation today, but, you know, it is important that we all remember that sports does not make the world go round, and there's some real critical things going on. But I promise you momentarily we're going to be talking some sports, and specifically tennis. So I know we give you baseball and basketball and football ad nauseum, but we're going to talk a little tennis today, and that's not to be a shocker to anybody. There's a lot of black folks that play tennis. There's a lot of black folks on the semi-professional, professional level now. And certainly there's tons of folks introducing their kids to tennis because they'd rather see them get knocked up the head, knocked upside the head with a tennis ball as opposed to a guy with a helmet on weighing 250 pounds. So we'll come back to that in just a moment. But Ernie, I'm going to throw you a variety of questions locked into one that you can respond to. First of all, you're with Mad Dads, which is a national operation that deals in, in essence, dads who are mad about the circumstances of our communities and wanting to do something about it. So you're part of that and have been for quite some time. And you guys go out and literally deal with young brothers on the street, face-to-face, hand-to-hand, to get them to change their lives. So that being said, we have these shootings going on in our schools. We have still have drug-infested communities that are now different than the 60s and 70s because they come along with guns. So the circumstances in our community, suffice it to say, the inner-city community suffers a different way than suburban communities. So how are you guys effectively making a change, and what's your opinion about this recent shooting that went on where 17 people lost their lives, and how it's alleged that the police officer stood by and did nothing? So just a combination of your thoughts.
Well, let me first say, Bill, Mad Dads is an acronym for Men Against Destruction, Defending Against Drugs and Social Disorder. And that's a mouthful, but basically we're fathers in the community. But to your point, Bill, a horrendous incident that occurred. But Bill, sadly, I think we're becoming numb to hearing it, to hearing the mass shootings. I mean, it's incredible that we're still talking about, you know, the AK-15 or 15, whatever. I'm not a gun guy, but, you know, these weapons that are, you know, based and created in the military, you know, sphere. It's supposed to be a rifle of mass destruction. So I, for the life of me, you know, I don't see the need for it. But I know, you know, that you can get into the Second Amendment questions. But the point is that we find ourselves just, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, the young man, you know, had mental issues that came up, and, you know, we have to address that. But Bill, you can, you know, go back as far as, you know, the former administration where Obama had those, you know, in place where he had mental requirements to get firearms. And now, you know, this current president, you know, 45, has now said it's, you know, he rescinded that. So it's just unreal that we see ourselves at this place and at this time.
Well, here's what else 45 said. He made a Twitter and a public statement that police officer on site of that shooting was a coward. Now, you go out at midnight on occasion and deal with young African-American men who, for a multitude of reasons, lives are in disarray, who are carrying weapons, and you and your comrades, you know, deal with that face-to-face. So you understand coward. You understand courage. You understand what it takes to literally deal with it face-to-face. What do you think about what the president said?
Well, that's another, issue about his, to me, truly, his insecurities, because, Bill, when you have to toot your horn and say, I would go in there without a gun, I mean, you know, that's too much bravo for me to handle, because that guy, he says he was setting up a perimeter. I know the investigation is ongoing, but it could be, Bill, because I, as a member of Mad Dads, we took the police course. It was an 11-week course, the police civilian course that was offered in Wilkesburg, and me and seven of my members went through it. And there are situations where the police have to set up a perimeter, and there are some circumstances where they may have to do, you know, a range of things. So I'm not going to pass that judgment. But to say, you know, I would have run in without a gun, you know, that's just playing to his base and people who think he's all that. But remember, Bill, he had four deferments.
He could have went into the service, but he wouldn't have fought.
You know, bone spurs didn't do that. You know,
exactly.
Now I'm not disrespectful, but it's a fact. He didn't do that.
It speaks to his cartoon character. Like that's comic book stuff, man. That I'm gonna run in without
come
a gun
on,
and save the
on.
Day. That's, you know, that Captain America yeah. stuff. That ain't real life stuff. But listen, let's jump off that wagon
right.
and get into some nuts and bolts.
Hitting that little green ball.
Well, you know, you're a tennis player.
That's right.
And a tennis instructor.
15 years with the Highland Park Tennis Club. I'm a board member. And love the game. I'm so passionate about it. And I've been teaching for 15 years. I teach adult beginners. And that's one of the great things about the Highland Park Tennis Club. We were recognized in 2010, what they called the Three Mountain Region, for having the best inner city tennis club in that area.
That's
recognized by the USTA.
Yeah, that's monumental.
And the thing is, Bill, it's so diverse. I mean, you go there, it's like the United Nations on weekends. You'll see children from all, you know, sectors of your population and culture. And that's one of the great things I love about it. You'll see 75, you know, children at the, you know, clinic any given weekend. For me, I teach adult beginners. We have two coaches, myself, Chris. We're teaching adult beginners, but we have advanced and then we have intermediate. So we have a whole range of qualified players to teach, and this discipline is so valuable. And when you think about giving free lessons for 15 years, I can't say enough about the Highland Park Tennis Club.
Have you seen an upswing on young people learning to play tennis? Again, lots of parents don't want their kids playing football anymore, and you know, they're looking at golf and tennis as another way for college scholarship to be involved athletically without getting your brain kicked in like some of us did coming up playing football. So are you seeing more numbers of African-American kids involved?
I can't say I'm seeing more. There's always been, you know, we got to admit, Bill, that it is kind of a privileged sport, if you will, because there's an expense to tennis, you know, versus, you know, the basketball where you could just go out and play. Baseball has even suffered with that because there's that individual, you know, aspect, but you have that team aspect where you need gloves, you know, shoes, spikes, and everything. Well, tennis in some ways is the same thing, where you it's kind of an elitist sport, actually. But I have seen this, Bill. There's a great after the Serena, you know, the Williams sisters came on to the fore, you saw a resurgence of tennis in the African American community that you haven't seen since Arthur Ashe, the late Arthur Ashe. You know, you saw an audience grow. You know, and in many ways, like Tiger Woods, when I was never, Bill, a golf guy. But when I seen Tiger Woods and hearing when he came out
jumped
of Stanford and seeing he came on, I just start following it.
Absolutely.
And then I start really enjoying it.
Well,
you
listen,
know, so the Williams sisters, they brought a lot of attention to
To that point,
world.
The Tiger's back. Just,
is he?
Just as a sidebar.
I didn't know that.
Well, listen, he was in his third tournament this past weekend. He finished 12th. So he's not back to Tiger standings, but the announcers and the commentators were talking today about, see, it used to be a conversation maybe a year ago, Tiger's done. We'll never see him again.
All right.
The Tiger Woods that we know is history. People forget that he was injured severely, had three back surgeries, knee surgery. Never mind the social end of things that he suffered through, that many athletes suffer somehow or the other. In different ways. But as of now, Tiger Woods is being talked about again. As a
All
matter
right.
of fact, one commentator said today he now expects that Tiger will win two more majors.
Is that right?
Now, he needs four to eclipse Jack Nicklaus. But it's being suggested now that Tiger Woods is back in the hunt.
Well, Bill, I remember hearing that a lot of the sports announcers say he's beyond, you know, tennis. What he did was the phenomenon of Tiger Woods is when he played, the the ratings for everything. That particular event went up
through the roof.
You know, through the roof. So, you know, he's more, he's transcended, you know.
And guess who loves him the most?
Who's that?
Sponsors.
Oh, well,
sponsors.
Yeah.
The sponsors love to see Tiger back. And all he's got to do is see if he can put that eye of the Tiger back into the minds of these young competitors, all of whom grew up watching him and for a while were scared of him. But now, you know, he's normal to them. So he's got to be able to plant that fear of doubt.
Hey, Bill,
back
well,
in
look,
mind.
I'm gonna throw you a question. I'm gonna throw you a question.
When you come to when the
you,
right place,
when you, I want to know when is Bill Neal gonna have these celebrity tournaments, tennis tournaments again? Because one of my greatest days, Bill, is when playing at a Bill Neal celebrity tennis. I play with Franco Harris when Franco Harris was 2 years from being the all that, and I'm sitting on the court playing with Franco Harris and Bill. We won that particular tournament. And then I remember Greg Lloyd. There was one where you had in Fox Chapel.
Yeah.
You had Greg Lloyd, and I met
Lynn
him.
Swan.
So, Bill. And
of course,
and
Connie Hawkins, Dwayne Woodruff, Kenny Durant.
So, Bill, when are we going to see a Bill Neal celebrity tournament again?
Let me answer your question with a question now.
Right.
Are the people wanting it? Is there a want? I mean, if the people want me back, Ernie, I'll come back.
Well, what?
And that includes
Can you deliver
Gloria?
Maybe on Bill? Can you deliver Le'Veon? Now, if you can get a big celeb like you did back in the day, brother, believe me, the people will come out.
All I can promise you is me. All I can promise you is me. Now, look. Right. Now, so Highland Park Tennis Club, Highland Park Tennis Association doing great things in the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
City and countywide, young students coming in, black, white, started at age what?
We started at age 5.
So if you're 5 years old and can hold a racket, come on in.
Yep, and we supply the rackets.
They don't pay any money.
Don't pay any money.
No membership cost, no equipment cost.
Now, there is a membership cost. If you want to join as a member, it's $25 a year. But we have many activities during the year. But that is,
But that has nothing to do with if you just want to walk in and learn how to play tennis.
If you want to learn May, we always start the first weekend in May. I think it's May 9th. And we go, it's an 11-week course. So you don't have to, go the whole 11 weeks. But if you do, we guarantee that you'll be able to play a social game of tennis after that 11 weeks. From not hitting a ball, not knowing any rules, in that 11 weeks, we promise to get you out and you can play a social game of tennis.
And from age 5 all the way up to?
All the way up. Bill, I had a lady in my class last year. She was 79. She said she's played for a long time, and she hadn't played for 20 years. She said she just wanted to hit again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can do that. You know. So the great thing about this game, Bill, there's no prototype. In football, basketball, there's prototypes, Now, tennis, you can be any size. You can be, any weight. There's not that prototype. Now, I will say, though, the game has gotten large. I mean, you find really big men playing this game anymore. You can look at, some of the players, Del Potro, he's 6'4". You find a lot of these other guys, who are huge. I can't believe I'm having a senior moment, Bill. But the one guy's 6'10",
Connie Hawkins was 6'9". He played a great game of tennis. Yeah, Kenny Durrett was 6'8". Yeah. You know who we don't talk about often who was a great, great, great tennis player?
Billy Knight.
Whenever we talk about celebrities, we kind of forget to talk about Billy Knight, the great basketball
Bill,
player
right.
out of Pitt and played with Buffalo by way of Indiana, I believe. Led the NBA in scoring 2 or 3 years. So let me ask you this question, Ernie. Let's get this on the table real quick so it doesn't get beside us. If a person wants to become a member of the Highland Park Tennis Association, and if they want to partake in the free clinics and what have you, how do they get in touch? Phone number, email address, what's the process?
All right, you can go to www.hptcinfo.info. That's www.hptcinfo.info. That's our website. And the phone number is area code 412-444-5578.
Now, give that website one more time.
That's www.hptc.info, and that'll take you to our website.
And the phone number again is?
Area code 412 444 5578.
Now, you talked about being a board member yourself. Yes. Who are the officers who run this operation?
Well, this year,
I mean, you guys are doing. If you're recognized as one of the best operations on the East Coast, you must be doing some pretty dynamic stuff. Somebody is running this show.
Yeah. Well, Vicky Bay was the president for the last 7 years, and she did an incredible job. Really grew our mission. And before that was Fred Crawford, who's he was in for like 8 years. So we had some great leadership. Now it's Dana Costa. She's now running. You have a young, strong, vibrant.
Dana's the president now, right?
Oh. And Fred Crawford, she brought him back. He's vice president.
We have a
hell of a mix there. You have a great core group, and our membership is strong. It's growing, and we're really looking forward to some great things. As a matter of fact, Bill, we have a tennis one of our fundraisers. We have a tennis spring tennis party April 28th at the Alpha Tennis Club, and that's in Harmerville. So that's April 28th, and if you're interested, those phone numbers can also get you to that event.
And you struck a nerve too that we need to talk about seriously off air. We talk about, well, let me just digress and offer that what Ernie was talking about moments ago was that for 35 years I, AKA Champion Enterprises, ran the Labor Day Mixed Double Celebrity Tennis Tournament, and we had a lot of fun with it, and it was always fun and easy going until it got down to the stretch, and then people started getting serious. But like you said, we had Franco Harris, Connie Hawkins, Kenny Durrett, Dwayne Woodruff, Lynn Swan, a host of guys came out, but it was just mixed doubles, male-female teams, man, it was a lot of fun. But we need to talk about what you and I talked about several months ago, which was that competitive tournament we talked about putting together, King of the Court, Queen of the Court thing. Right. We need to get back together, and I'll tell you why, because my good friend, whose name I can't mention on air, has now repurchased the facility in Monroeville. Now, based on what we were looking at, that scenario's changed. Oh. But let me put you on the spot and ask you a question, man. Now, you're a tennis instructor, tennis player, all total how many years?
Over 40 years.
So you're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a 4-0 player.
All right, so now
I won a tournament or two in my life.
So. Now 4-0 means what exactly?
Oh, well, 4-0 is the USTA ranking. It starts at 2-0. So let me just give you a general spec. 2-0 player, he can get the ball over the net.
Okay.
You'll be able to keep score.
All right.
Then you go to 2-5.
All right.
He's probably disciplined in moving lateral and can hit the ball on a move. Then you go to 3-0, which now this person can probably get the ball, hit the ball on a run, and vary his shots. And then you get to 3-5. Now, 3-5 player, they'll be able to serve, volley, and do a lot of disciplines and probably, be tournament worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you get to your 4-0 player, where I'm a 4-0. You have pretty much all of the disciplines. Like, I can, hit any shot, but I can't do it consistently. That's when you get to the 4-5 player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a 4-5 player can do every shot consistently. Then you go to your highest level, 5-0, and those players are probably going to be seeded players. They're probably going to be they're going to be winning tournaments.
So you're in the mix. I mean, 4-0 is nothing to sneeze at.
I can play, just about with any player, but safe to say, you get on the court with a 5-0 player and you'll see very easily you get humbled in this game,
Who in the area is a 5-0? Anybody that you can name?
Well, there's Don Costa. He's a great player. There's Danny Jones. He was an eminent, a player for years, some of the other younger players.
Where's Joyce at?
Joyce is a bona fide champ.
Joyce's last name so the world knows?
Joyce Scott.
Joyce Scott, we're putting you on notice.
Yeah.
Now, what is Joyce Scott? Is she a 3-0?
Always. Oh, no. Joyce is a champion. She's at in her level, she's a bona fide champion.
And
she would be
cute.
A 4.
Yes, she and is. She's cute.
And she's a solid, 4-5 to, 5. 5-0.
We probably
because
should,
she's a champion.
We probably shouldn't put. Now we have to live this down.
I know.
We probably shouldn't put it.
I always tell, always and laugh and say, I'd rather play any man than Joyce because Joyce has the wickedest forehand you've ever seen. It's
and ladies and gentlemen, to see her, you just wouldn't think it. You think, well, look at this cute little 5'2" somebody. But she's
15 minutes later, you're coming off with a 6-0.
Yeah, she's a beast. She's a beast. All right, so look, let's elevate this conversation to a level that's foreign to me, but I know you have a little expertise. So tennis is a year-round thing, but the heat of it now is just getting ready to get cranked up. So, well, actually, it's been cranked up for about a month or so, I would suspect. Yeah. So, obviously, you have Serena Williams and Venus, but give me the breakdown of maybe the top 3, 4, 5 in the women's division and in the men's division and how what we're looking at. And let me ask you a question. When are we going to see a black male tennis champion in Wimbledon? We haven't had one since the gentleman, his name escapes me, that passed away. Help a brother, Trey, when I get stuck.
Well,
the tennis player that won Wimbledon, the brother that won Wimbledon that died.
Oh, well, that was
Arthur Ashe. So we haven't had a USA black male win Wimbledon.
A major. They haven't won a major. And that's how tennis is usually broken down. There's four majors. There's the U.S. Open. There's the Australian. There's the French. And Wimbledon. Those are the four majors. Now, the USTA and ATP, they have all tournaments leading up to those majors. And there's a system of ranking, in that framework. So you have your four majors, Australian.
So now Serena – she's considered the greatest female player in the world.
Oh, right now, no doubt.
Has she won all four majors in a given year?
She did, and I think it was two years ago, she held all the majors in the calendar year. They didn't call it the Grand Slam because it wasn't in the calendar year, but, yes, she held all four titles.
And that's not something too many people can say?
Oh, no.
Now, what about Jimmy Connors and some of those greats? Have any of them ever held all four majors at one time?
Well, Jimmy Connors, Bill, I'm not sure. I know he had consistently won the U.S. Open year after year, but all four of them, I don't know because I don't know his clay record.
Okay.
And that's usually the bugaboo. Even a guy like, Djokovic, who is considered right now one of the greatest players, and, of course, Roger Federer. But Djokovic, the clay has eluded him. For a long time, because these four majors I've talked about, Bill, you have one, the Australian, which is like a hard true surface. That's like you call a hard court. U.S. Open, that's a hard court. But then you have Wimbledon, which is grass, and then you have the French, which is clay. So you have this whole nother, type of discipline on a clay court versus, the hard court.
All right, now let me ask you a question that I know Trev wants the answer to because, we're football players. We don't know much. Why clay? I mean, why do people play on clay? What's the deal with clay and the dirt and the dirty clay?
Well, the European tennis, when it evolved in that part of the world, clay was a lot of the stadiums and the courts were clay because of just the dynamics of the area. In Spain and France, you had a lot of clay court surfaces. So, they just start playing on that surface, and it just became so popular because you didn't need, the stadium of hard true surfaces. You could play on a natural surface. And with clay, and with grass, again, in Europe, this is an ancient game, actually, Bill. Some of these clubs are from the 1850s, some of these tennis clubs.
So it's just maintaining the history of it.
Yeah.
So playing on grass must be tough.
Well, no. Actually, let me say this. It's easy on the body and as far as, the surface itself. Now, the trick is how do you, handle slice? How do you handle pace and all these, power shots on clay? On grass. It's a slower surface. So now you have these big bangers that will blow you off the court in, say, a U.S. Open, But on clay, you can actually hang with a Djokovic, because if you have the discipline on clay, it's almost an equalizer.
It's Urban Media Today Radio. We'll be right back in a moment. But as we leave, I want to make mention why I love tennis. Ladies in short skirts. All right, we'll be right back in a moment.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? Now think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.